Well, let me start with a question this morning. Show of hands, is it just me? Who in here likes cartoons? Yes, indeed. I'm a fan of cartoons. I really like The Simpsons. There's an episode of The Simpsons that always makes me chuckle whenever I see it in reruns. You might have seen it before. It's an episode where Homer's told by his doctor that he's only got a few days left to live. Have you ever wondered how your life might change if you were told such news? Homer makes a list of all the things he'd like to do before his earthly pilgrimage is over. What do we call that list? It's a bucket list. Homer makes himself a bucket list. It's a list of things he wants to do before he kicks the bucket. Now, in the cartoon, Homer has on his bucket list such things as fly in a blimp, tell off his boss, and other silly types of cartoon sorts of things. But in that episode, a different side of the character of Homer Simpson begins to emerge as well. He decides to make amends with his neighbor. And it's a neighbor with whom he's constantly borrowing things and never returning them. He begins to realize that not only has he been a pretty crummy neighbor, but he hasn't been all that good of a father either. And so he begins to spend quality time with his son, Bart. He purposely sits down to listen to his daughter, Lisa, play her saxophone, and he does it without screaming out at her, "Knock off that racket!" Now, these examples, they may all seem trivial, but bear in mind, The Simpsons is a cartoon. Having said that, coming face to face with the reality of the temporal nature of our physical life is really no laughing matter, is it? In the 90th Psalm that we heard this morning, we hear the psalmist declare of God, "You turn people back to dust, saying, 'Return to dust, you mortals.'" This is reiterated by Moses in the book of Genesis, where we read about God telling Adam, "From dust you have come, and from dust you shall return." What sobering words those are. From the very moment we take our first breath, we continue getting closer and closer and closer to that very moment when we take our last earthly breath. But let's return to the 90th Psalm and let's move down to the 12th verse where the psalmist prays, "God, teach us to number our days." Wow. There's so much wisdom in that statement, isn't there? Teach us to number our days. Yet how many of us, on the one hand, recognize the wisdom, but on the other hand, we don't always live in a way that's truly applying the wisdom of such a statement. Back in the 1990s, there was a country star named Garth Brooks, and he had a hit song called "If Tomorrow Never Comes." Most of you are probably familiar with that. His ballad's chorus went like this. The words were, "If tomorrow never comes, will she know how much I loved her? Did I try in every way to show her every day that she's my only love? If my time on earth were through and she must face this world without me, is the love I gave her in the past gonna be enough to last if tomorrow never comes?" In some ways, that song is sort of like the country music biblical translation of Psalm 90, verse 12, isn't it? God, teach us to number our days. You see, we have no guarantee for tomorrow on earth. And every day is a precious gift from God. There are no ordinary days. There are only extraordinary days. And they're gifts from God. And in thanksgiving, in an attitude of gratitude, each of us should pray daily, "Lord, teach me to number my days." You know, intellectually, each of us can sit here this morning and say, "Yeah, I get it. Our days on earth are finite. They're numbered." But if that's true, if it's true that we really understand it, then why? Why do we wait until Thanksgiving to give thanks? Why do we wait until Christmas to give gifts? Why, as Christians, do we wait until Easter to meditate on the new life that God wants to give each and every one of us? Why do we wait until Valentine's Day to say, I love you? Why do we wait until someone dies to send them flowers? Here's the problem as I see it. If we're not careful, we run the risk of living today as if it were just another day, just another ordinary day. But you know what? As Christians, we need to not only realize the truth, but declare and confess the truth over our lives that there are no ordinary days. There are only extraordinary days, extraordinary days, and each and every one of them is a precious gift from God. You see, the Psalms don't just teach us that we should number our days, but the psalmist declares, this is the day the Lord has made, and we are to rejoice and be glad in it. Not tomorrow, certainly not yesterday, today. Seize the day, carpe diem, because every day is a precious gift from God. Let me illustrate it this way. This is from an email I've received. I've received a couple different versions of it. You've probably seen this one floating around too, but I think it makes the point so well for us. In this email, the premise of the story is that you've won a contest. And as the winner of the contest, you're entitled to a cash prize. And here's how it works. Each morning, your bank begins the day by depositing $86,400 into your bank account. Every single day, without exception, you begin the day with $86,400 in your bank account at your disposal. However, there are a couple of sets of rules. The first rule is, when midnight rolls around, whatever money of the $86,400 you didn't spend, it gets wiped out of your account. The account returns to a zero balance at midnight. And furthermore, you're not allowed to save any of that daily deposit. You can't simply transfer the leftover money into some other account. You can only spend it that day. It's basically use it or lose it. And that's probably okay because the next morning, the bank will again deposit into your personal account another $86,400 for you to spend as you wish that day. Now, the second set of rules. The bank may at any time, without any warning, choose to end the game. In other words, no more $86,400 deposits going into your bank account. Game over. They can close the account permanently, and you will not receive another penny, much less another bank account. So what would you do? Would you be able to spend all that money every single day? If you could, how would you spend it? Think about that for a moment. Would you buy anything and everything you wanted? Would you choose to spend a portion of that money buying things for loved ones? Would you spend any of it helping out others each day? Would you spend any of it helping out folks that you don't even know? My brothers and sisters, in actuality, the reality is that's not a game. It's actually a symbolic representation of this thing we call life. You see, each of us has such a bank account, except rather than receiving money each day into our account, we receive something so much more valuable. We receive the precious gift of time. You see, each morning that you awake, the reality is that the day before, you were given 86,400 seconds as a gift of life from God. And when the clock struck midnight, whatever time you hadn't spent, it just simply goes away. whatever time you chose not to spend, it's gone. Whatever time you choose not to spend today, you'll never get it back. It'll be gone. It'll be gone forever. Every morning that you awaken, God has credited you with up to 86,400 seconds of life for that day. But at any second and without any warning, you could face game over. Mother Teresa once said, "Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow has not yet come. We have only today. Let us begin." So let me ask you, what are you going to do with your 86,400 seconds today? Those seconds are worth so much more than any amount of dollars. You see, a wealthy man can buy anything he wants except time. Time is the great equalizer. No matter how rich or how poor you are, your day has a value of 86,400 seconds. No matter how well educated or how little education you have, your life has a value every day of 86,400 seconds. Republican or Democrat, black or white, male or female, Greek or Jew, your day has a value of 86,400 seconds. Enjoy every second of your life. Because as the great rock and roll theologian Steve Miller once sang, time keeps on ticking, ticking, ticking into the future. Take care of yourself. Look out for others. Seek happiness and find joy. Joy that comes from God. Expect the peace of God that comes alone through Christ Jesus. Love deeply, remembering the reality that you can only love because God first loved us. Value every second of the gift of life and take liberal amounts of time to praise and honor the one who gives it to you. Pray, Lord, teach me to number my days. Because there are no ordinary days. There are only extraordinary days. Each a gift from God. Any of you who have ever worked with me on a committee or on church council, you know that I often say that if we want better answers, we need to ask better questions. So let me ask you a question this morning. Are things perfect in your life? Let me ask you a better question. Do things need to be perfect in your life? I would say no. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. But look what else he says. He says, be of good cheer. Because I, Jesus says, I've overcome the world. And he did that for us. My brothers and sisters, this is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in the gift of this good news. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Our Father God in heaven, we thank you in an attitude of gratitude for the gift of life. We thank you for the 86,400 seconds that you gave us yesterday and the day before. Lord, we pray that you make us aware of just how precious that time is, that it cannot be purchased with money. It cannot be ordered on the internet. It can't be searched for on Google and traded for on eBay. It is a gift that comes exclusively from you, our Father God in heaven. And like all the gifts you've blessed us with, Lord, we pray that you make us good stewards of time. We offer this prayer up in the name of your Son, our risen Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. And all God's children said, Amen.